Your Bibles open in front of you, that'd be great. I'll be referring to various verses on the way through, so if you can just follow in your Bibles, it'll be a lot clearer, and you can check up I'm saying what's in the Bible. I have a friend from my teenage years who, back when we were together in youth group and a bit of while out of youth group, he was really strong for the Lord. We did a lot of things together. But sadly, he's now drifted away from faith in Jesus. I think it was a gradual process for him. The slide began while he was still regular at church, still professing faith in Jesus. But the reality was that Jesus and trust in Jesus had slidden from the center of his life to something on the edge. Other things now filled the center of his life. And eventually he gave up pretending and stop coming to church altogether. In this morning's passage, Paul fears that the Galatian Christians are leaving faith in Jesus, the gospel. So he addresses this three different ways. So whether we ourselves are personally powering on strong for Jesus, or whether we actually know we're sliding away a bit, this has got something where we need to listen and take to heed the warnings that Paul puts before us. In the passage, we're going to see Paul at his relational best. He speaks the truth. At times he speaks it in a hard-cutting way, right to the heart. But he also says it with a relational love for the welfare of the Galatians and for us. And my prayer is, as we look at this passage together, that we will hear from Paul not just hard truths, but we'll also hear his love and concern that we stay focused on Jesus, believing in Jesus. If you've read through Galatians or followed the sermon series up till now, Paul has been mainly describing and proving the content of the gospel, showing that justification by faith is the gospel, and answering theological problems with the other gospel. But now, he turns directly to the churches and he says to them, "What do you think you are doing?" Remember how he started way back in 1:6, Galatians 1:6? "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel." He now unpacks that deserting the gospel that he referred to in 1:6, and he unpacks it from three different angles. And he shows that if we leave faith in Jesus, then we're just returning to the world's ways. We're doing something that's actually very personal within the church, and it's actually treason against God. Now, these are the realities of where the rubber hits the road when we abandon faith in Jesus. And Paul wants to lay on the table his heartfelt concern for anyone who may be sliding away from Jesus in their faith. Paul starts the first section, 4 to 11. He starts it by reminding the Galatian churches that before they believed in Jesus, they were Gentiles, who were still Romans, most of them, most of the Galatians, who were spiritually enslaved to idols and other gods. In 4 verse 8, that phrase, "those who by nature are not gods," that's a reference to Greek and Roman gods and the multitude of spirits out there that the Greeks and Romans feared. But now, they believe in Jesus. And in 4:9, he says, "they now know God," or rather, "are known by God." They're known by God because if you look back in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, just a little bit earlier, you'll see they're known by God because God has adopted them as sons and heirs. So, in chapter 3, having laid out for them, and part of chapter 4, having laid out for them how much God's done for them through Jesus, Paul now actually begins to express some personal frustration. In the second half of 4 verse 9, he asks, "Why do you want to go back to being slaves to false gods?" I know he's talking about Roman religion or using the words of Roman religion, because that word translated forces there in that verse is actually a key technical term in Greek and Roman discussions about the nature of the gods and mankind and the universe. He goes on in 4:10, you keep all these feasts, these seasons, these days. Greek and Roman religion was full of festivals, celebrations, sacrifice days, this god, that god. But in Greek and Roman religion, no one had a close relationship with the gods. They carried out rituals and sacrifices to appease the gods so the gods didn't get angry at them. They gave offerings to the gods to get the gods' blessings so the gods would be good to them. But they didn't love each other. It was like a business transaction. They lived in slavery to these rituals to stay on the right side of these distant, unpredictable Greek and Roman gods. And Paul's saying, why do you want to go back to that? You are sons and heirs of the true God. In fact, in 4:11, Paul's afraid that if they turn back to this old forces, pagan religion, then all his work to bring them to Jesus will just be a waste of time. It will have all been wasted effort. But Paul's being quite clever, and he's actually saying a lot more than that. He uses all these words that describe Greek and Roman idolatry. But as we read through the book of Galatians, I'm sure you've picked up by now, it's not Greek and Roman idolatry that the Galatians are tempted to turn back to. It's Jewish practices, works of the law. Circumcision is going to be a major theme through the rest of the letter. What Paul is doing, he's using the language and images of coming back to worship idols, but he's actually talking about the false teachers' Jewish gospel. Look at 4:10 again. Feasts, seasons, years. Those words also describe Jewish festivals. And if we go back a few verses into last week's passage, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he uses that same technical term, forces, to describe slavery under Jewish law. What he's doing, he's pointing out to them that if they try to get on the right side of God through keeping Jewish laws and Jewish rituals, then it's just like they may as well go back to the rituals of pagan idolatry that they were once enslaved to. It's just the same. Just to be clear, Paul's not actually criticizing Old Testament Jewish law. In the Old Testament, law was designed to keep the Israelites focused on God. However, by the time Jesus came, by the time Paul wrote, the Jews had so twisted the Old Testament law that now they placed all their trust and focus on their ability to keep that law and on their ability to do the right sacrifices and rituals. And they had actually obscured a relationship with God himself behind their laws and their sacrifices. They were not listening to God. They were especially not listening to God when he actually said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Now, if the Galatians now turn to all this focus on laws and rituals, they will have turned away from a living relationship with Jesus by faith. They will have started to relate to God in exactly the same way pagan Romans around them did, with their idols, all rituals and laws, and no faith in Jesus. But we actually need to be careful we don't fall for the same thing. Our human heart can so easily be drawn to want to do things, have our things the way we can control them, rather than trust God. our sinful human heart, we can't control God, but we can control rituals we do, and we have a fair degree of control over what laws we keep. So our human hearts are drawn to want to relate to God by laws and rituals rather than by faith in Jesus. There are lots of examples I can use, but let me work through just one. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are both rituals. They are given to us by God as good things we should be doing. They are designed by God to point us to Jesus, to strengthen our faith in Jesus. However, the way to drift away from faith in Jesus is to put so much trust in doing the ritual actions of communion, to put so much trust in doing the ritual baptisms certain ways, that faith in Jesus actually slides back to a secondary consideration while we focus on Christian rituals. That's just one example. There's lots of Christian rituals we can do the same things with if we're not careful. And that's what Satan does. He takes what God means for good and twists it into a lie. He takes what look and he makes it look so good. He makes it even look religious. But it's designed by Satan to drag us away from a core central focus on faith in Jesus Christ alone. You get the picture. We could add many more things to that list. Things that are good things that Christians need to think about and talk about. But never let them obscure the very faith in Jesus that gives them meaning and purpose. Always be alert to keep Jesus at the centre. Enough of that. If you want to talk more about those things, Rohan's available to talk. Let's move on to 4:12, the next point. The big point here, in the second point, is that to walk away from faith in Jesus is to walk away from people who love us and from people who have given so much to help us in the faith. If you cast your eyes over chapter 4, 12 to 15, there in front of you, you can see that Paul is now becoming super personal with them. Paul knows that it's now time to speak from his heart about how their leaving the truth of the gospel impacts their relationship with him and with each other. In 4:12, he says, "I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become with me, become like me, for I became like you." What he means there is they know how much he was willing to suffer hardships and even persecution to bring the gospel to them. And he's saying to them, now be like me. Be willing to endure hardship and even persecution to stay close to Jesus, the faith in Jesus, even when it gets hard. There are parts of chapter 4, 13, 15, excuse me, where it's not 100% clear specifically what happened between Paul and the Galatians, but we get the big picture easily enough. Paul came to them in human weakness of some kind, but they were spiritually perceptive, and they saw that despite his human weakness, he was actually a messenger from God, speaking truth from God. And they accepted it, and they loved him, and they cared for him. They're willing to give him anything, even their eyes if they could have. But now, as we come to 15, 16, something has changed. For Paul, this is personal. What's happened to our relationship, he's saying. In 4:14, he says, "I spoke the truth of the gospel to you, and you lovingly received me as a messenger of God." Now in 4:16, he says, "I speak the same gospel truth to you, and you're relating to me like I'm an enemy." What's going on? Well, Paul actually knows what's going on, but he wants to put it out there and ask these questions so that they will reflect on what they're doing. This is personal. Paul is feeling it, and he wants them to know that they just can't walk away from him and his gospel without it hurting. To walk away from the gospel always has relational implications. Even hurting people who have loved us and cared for us. Now in verse 4:17, he turns and he metaphorically points at the elephant in the room that hasn't been discussed up till now. He lays it there for everyone to see. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." These people are the elephants in the room. They're troublemakers, but they're smooth operators. They know that in order to get the church to leave Paul's gospel and come to their gospel of Jewish works, they know that they must first win the trust, loyalty, and friendship of the Galatian churches away from Paul to themselves. So that's what they set out to do. And the Galatians are falling for it. I've had 4 children grow up in my house, and over that time I've had the pleasure, or perhaps not always pleasure, of seeing many episodes of Disney and Nickelodeon children's programs played out before my eyes. And I've noticed that there's a common theme that runs through so many of the programs. In so many of the different programs, there's the group of nice, good kids who are the heroes, but then there's also the cool, super cool, but mean kids, and the two are in conflict. It's in all their programs. And all the programs have several episodes where the cool but mean kids convince one of the nice kids to leave his nice friends and come and join their group to be cool. And the kid falls for it and goes. These shows, same, they all work out the same. They all end with the nice kid eventually realizing, these guys are just mean. They're just using me. And he goes back to his nice friends and they're all happy again and everything's fine. And they all follow their heart like they do in Disney. I don't think Paul got his ideas from a Disney kids program. But Paul knows this is exactly what's going on in Galatia. In chapter 4, verse 19, he then compares his personal pain to a mother going through childbirth. You see, for him, he's just writing from the distance. He's been there, he's gone, he's writing back. And he's sort of sitting on the sideline watching these Galatians. Will they go off, follow these smooth operators, be cool and follow Jewish laws? Or will they see through it all, work through it, and realize that Paul's the one who loves them and faith in Jesus is the truth? And he's picturing himself like a mother there, going through labor, waiting to see what's going to come out. What type of child is going to come through? Will we deliver something that has faith in Jesus? And it's hurting watching it happen. He finishes in 4:20 by laying his heart bare. My heart's wish is to be there speaking lovingly with you. I really don't want to have to be speaking harshly like I am now. But then, like every parent sometimes feels about their kids, he says in 4:20, "I'm so frustrated. I just don't know what to do with you." 2 quick applications from this. First, beware of people who sound so convincing, who act like they care about you, but whose message is pulling you away from Jesus. It's all over the internet. Sad to say, Christian bookshops are full of them. They even pastor churches. They promote things that are good in themselves, things Christians should think about and have opinions on and have a voice about. They even throw around Jesus' name. But trust in Jesus is not their primary focus. They let faith in Jesus slide into the background. I plead with you, stay with people who will lovingly point you to Jesus as the center of your faith. Second, leaving or deserting the gospel is personal. It's not like changing channels or going from Stan to Netflix where it affects no one but you. Leaving the gospel is not like changing from Coles to Woolworths where you don't have a relationship with the checkout chick or the managers and no one really cares. When the body of Christ is functioning healthily, then we are brothers and sisters, personally encouraging each other and helping each other trust Jesus and helping each other walk faithfully before him. When you leave the gospel, you leave that family. It's personal. Every step away from Jesus is a step away from what binds us together. Every step away from Jesus is a step away from relationship with our brothers and sisters. And at its worst, it can even be a personal betrayal of those who have loved you and given so much to help you in the faith. I plead with you, stick with the people who love you, who are concerned for your relationship with Jesus, and want you to stay with him. Now, third point, in 4:20, he changes angle to point out that when we leave the true gospel, when we take on a false gospel, we're actually siding with the enemies of the gospel. In 4:21, he speaks directly to those who want to leave Jesus and take up Jewish law, to turn to following a law like a Jew. He starts by telling them a story. It's a story about two children. And like whenever Jesus started to tell a parable, I'm sure they're sitting there going, which child am I meant to represent? What's the message behind this? One child came from trusting the promises of God, by trusting God's word. The other child came from not trusting God's word and by trying to solve problems, to do things the human way. Then Paul makes it crystal clear. He says the two children represent two covenants. They would have understood that Mount Sinai represents Jewish religion and Jewish law and trying to be right with God through Jewish law. And they would have understood the present Jerusalem equals the Jews of Jerusalem who crucified Jesus and who are now represented in the Jews of the synagogue in the Galatians' very own hometowns. The point of the story is this. You guys who want to go to Jewish law rather than faith in Jesus, you want to be on the wrong side. You want to be with the flesh, with slavery. You need to stay with the Spirit, with Jesus, with faith. But worse than that, in 4:29, in the story, the slave child persecutes the free child. And Paul says, it's the same now. You read those words there. When we read through the New Testament, and we see that most of the opposition to the gospel and most of the violent persecution of Christians actually came from the Jews of the synagogue. Paul points out that that's still happening right now in Galatia, and they knew that. The Jews were still persecuting the church. In fact, when you flick ahead in Galatians to chapter 6, verse 12, we see that these troublemakers, these false gospel promoters, they're just doing it in order to avoid persecution from the Jews. In their minds, that's in the minds of the false teachers, they may even have thought they were doing a good thing. Look, we're saving the church and even us from persecution. They may have had good motives. But in reality, when we compromise the truth, the gospel, in order to avoid persecution, we are just doing the work of the enemies of the gospel. We are obscuring Jesus. We all know how it all works. We're so tempted to think to ourselves, if I'm just a good Aussie, then my neighbours and everyone will love me. If we just talk about loving everyone and get rid of that talk about Jesus being the only way, if I just get rid of words like sin and repentance, if we focus on things like being good to our, caring for our environment, social justice, love everybody. If I just do that, everyone will love us and accept us. It's so tempting to think that way. But it starts with a temptation to water down the gospel in order to fit in with those around us so they won't mock us or persecute us. But the danger is we can progress to actually changing what we believe and even what we say is the gospel in order to fit in and avoid mocking and persecution. And we may even go that step further and want to influence others to follow us so our whole group is acceptable to our world around us. But if we change our gospel that way, we are actually siding with the enemy. What does Paul say to do about this? Look at 4:30. Throw them out. Throw out the law gospel. Throw out those who are promoting it. Of course, if they come to their senses and turn back to faith in Jesus, then together as brothers and sisters, we're all reconciled back under Jesus. However, if they keep promoting this compromised message, throw them out. Whoa, that's really harsh, isn't it? That doesn't sound like a very Australian thing to do. But think about it this way. Imagine if someone came to live in your family, say a boarder, you had a boarder move in. But then that boarder started trying to usurp your authority as the parents of the house. Imagine if that boarder then started trying to get your kids to follow them and accept them as their parents. Imagine if this boarder then tried to get your parents, your children, to do family his way. To be loyal to him, not to you. What should you do as parents then? Should you say, oh, I need to be tolerant? Will you be tolerant or will you throw them out the house? You know what the answer is. It's your family. These people have to go. Your family's welfare comes first. If people are leading our brothers and sisters in Christ away from faith in Jesus, we must not tolerate that. Let's wrap it all up. It's easy to see these false teachers as real baddies, you know, with horns and a pitchfork. But they're just normal people like you and me who want to fit into the world around them. We can all be tempted to want to do our religion by rituals and law, like our world does it, in a way that pushes Jesus into the background. But no, cling to faith in Jesus, keep him at the center. We can all be tempted to follow the smooth flatterers. They sound so good. But we're reminded to be loyal to those who love us and tell us the gospel truth. We can all be drawn to want to modify the gospel message so that everyone likes us and no one gives us a hard time. But we've been reminded that want to do that is actually to side with the enemies of the gospel. Three ways to leave the gospel. Three reminders. Cling to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is freedom. That is, it is of the Spirit. We thank you that it is truth and it is salvation. We pray, Father, that we will always stay firmly focused on Jesus. And we pray that we will stay with those who love us, who care for us, and who help us come to maturity in Christ. We ask these things in your name. Amen.